The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Joanna LaForgia from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be presenting content from the May 2025 issue of Southern Living magazine. This week, we will wrap up our story, Barbara Kingsolver's story, I should say, of the storm in Appalachia, of the hurricane, Appalachian hurricane, I think. The heart of Appalachia is what it's called. I was mispronouncing Appalachia, too. The heart of Appalachia by Barbara Kingsolver. We're going to wrap that story up, and then we'll have time to go on to a short essay about how to publish a book, which has some relation to this month's Ivy's Kitchen, which is a regular feature in the magazine, and we'll talk about that connection as we approach that, and then we'll get to Ivy's Kitchen as well today, hopefully. Okay, are you ready? So we were continuing this story. It has this is the last page of the story, and there is a picture. Barbara Kingsolver is a best-selling author. She's wrote The Poisonwood Bible, might be the most famous, but several other bestsellers. There's a drawing on this page, and it appears to be the back of Barbara Kingsolver surveying the Nolichucky River after the storm. The river is blue now, the water is now blue, and there are those rounded rocks that we talked about in our last episode that Barbara Kingsolver talked about. The rocks are rounded, and they are also on the porch that she is standing on in the front page of this story, because those rocks were used to make her stone porch there in her home. So in this picture, the river is kind of dark, and the rounded rocks come up upon the land as well, and there's a cooler in the foreground and some buckets. And I see a lamp, a couple of lamps, a few things that are strewn in the aftermath of the storm. So to continue our last section of the storm. Oh, readers, the cover of this magazine has a two-story white house. It's clapboard on the top and white brick on the bottom, and a white brick chimney. It has light green, very pale green, almost powder green, if that's what I'd like to call it, shutters and door. The windows all have 9 panes, including the window on the top half of the door. The actual windows have, some of them have 12 panes and some 9. And in the foreground is a large tree that is higher than the house and extending over the house, and lush green leaves. And there are some hydrangea bushes, white hydrangeas in the front, and two little small dogs in the front as well. They're white with black and brown markings. And the cover from top to bottom says Southern Living. Outdoor living, our best ideas for porches, gardens, and curb appeal. And Carmi and Hamilton's Backyard Escape, Texas Hill Country's Cutest Town, Barbara Kingsolver's Hurricane Story, May 2025. And, of course, Barbara Kingsolver's Hurricane Story is what we're going to wrap up now. The heart, and she calls it the heart of Appalachia. We don't just love our trails. We need them. We also need visitors and their faith in our recovery. The Virginia Creeper Trail attracts more than 200,000 hikers and bikers a year, with vacation money to spend in Abingdon lodges and businesses. Outdoor tourism is even more essential to Damascus, where the Virginia Creeper and Appalachian trails converge. On a recent trip there, I sought out the promise of spring and everything we cherish that can't be blown away. Listening to birdsong along Laurel Creek, picnicking in the National Forest, and a heart-pounding climb up Backbone Rock. I saw innkeepers hanging freshly painted signs in leafy lanes, and a downtown that's full of reopened bike shops, gear outfitters, and friendly diners. The big event in Damascus, the Appalachian Trail Days Festival, brings nature enthusiasts from far and wide, and it's going ahead this year, May 16th through 18th, with a full schedule of music, activities, and vendors. Volunteers have worked hard for this and want the world to know. We're not giving up, so please don't give up on us. When I ask friends and neighbors what they think about hurricanes in Appalachia, they say the same things meteorologists tell us. Every year gets hotter. This is new weather. Preparedness seems impossible. Helene killed more than 200 people, mostly in counties previously thought to have less hurricane risk. They worry about the mess we're leaving our kids. There's no arguing with physics. Warm air holds more water. A heated atmosphere makes for stronger storms, freakish winters, droughts, fires, and a buckets-from-the-sky kind of rainfall that, according to the National Hurricane Center, has surpassed storm surge as the deadliest part of a hurricane. That's our dilemma. We're so attached to the fossil fuels that fan this flame, and we're presently steering our nation toward more of the same, away from efforts to stave off more dangerous weather in the long run. It's easiest to eat our cake right now. Hard to think of the cost until it falls from above and turns a world upside down. The forest behind my house is already becoming something new, I notice, as I walk trails that used to be shady. With so many fallen giants, the floor now lies under open sky. I count sprouting acorns by the dozens, arching their necks and reaching for a new bonanza of sunlight. I have so many hopes for this place I love, mostly that we'll rise like these seedlings from our scoured landscape, blessed with the kindness we've shared with our neighbors and the will to extend our care to those who follow behind us on these paths. And now, listeners, just before moving on to the spotlight article in the Grapevine of how to publish a book, fixing to publish a book, and then on to Ivy's Kitchen, which is also a regular feature in this magazine, let's just revisit one paragraph of the opening editor's note in this magazine called Life at SL, because it relates to the two things that we're about to read. When author and social media star Landon Bryant, known for his Instagram account @LandonTalks, visited our offices recently, and you will see this in Fixin' to Publish a Book on page 26, which, listeners, we will get to momentarily. He recorded a video with senior editor Ivy Odom. That's the Ivy of Ivy's Kitchen, listeners. Okay, back to our story. To see if they said certain words the same way. They went over flashcards with pecan, azalea, oil, praline, all of which can sound different depending on where you're from. Ivy grew up in Moultrie, Georgia, where they call the sugary candy a praline. But in Landon's hometown of Laurel, Mississippi, it's a praline. Okay. All right. So, actually, we're going to now go on to Landon's essay. And it's called, it's in a feature, this is a monthly feature in this Southern Living magazine called The Grapevine. What Southerners are buzzing about. And in this feature, it's called Spotlight on Fixin' to Publish a Book. Mississippi native and social media star Landon Bryant unpacks our region's culture with humor and heart. And there's a photo of the author here, of Landon Bryant. Here, listeners, he is, the background are some blurred, some blurred deciduous green trees. He's standing in the foreground, and he has long brown hair parted in the middle, and he's wearing some rimless eyeglasses. He has a mustache and a beard and brown eyes. And I kind of chuckled because he seems to have a half smile on his face. It's kind of it almost is a sneer, but it's a smile. And now I understand why, because he's wearing a white shirt that has written in script across it, "Bless your heart." You Southerners know what that's about here. It has different meanings depending on how and when it's said. All right. So we'll now read his Landon Bryant short essay on fixing to publish a book. Colorful phrases like clutching your pearls and fixing to come with the territory. Colorful phrases like clutching your pearls and fixing to come with the territory when you're raised in the South. In his debut release, Bless Your Heart, A Field Guide to All Things Southern, online personality and comedian Landon Bryant, who can be reached at Landon Talks on Instagram, gives a crash course in regional sayings, social protocols, and quirks you can't help but love. Released on April 1st, this witty and nostalgic book covers important topics like whether gelatin qualifies as a salad and why those who hail from certain states never gossip about others, but instead, quote, pray for them, unquote. The South gets lumped into a monolith, and I hope this book helps people see there's more to it, Bryant says. You'll learn there's a lot of love in Southern culture. There's a lot of warm, fuzzy feelings. A former art teacher from Laurel, Mississippi, Bryant began sharing relatable stories about life in his neck of the woods on social media in 2023 at the encouragement of his wife, Kate. His humorous takes led to a loyal fan base of nearly 500,000 people and inspired his podcast, Landon Talks with Kate. Bryant works hard to make sure his corner of the internet is welcoming and positive. He often reminds commenters to be nice when debating heated subjects like the merits of sugar in cornbread. I've built a community of very kind people, and I think it's important that we're all at this one table together, he says. If we can discuss deviled eggs, then maybe one day we can discuss the bigger things. Bless Your Heart, A Field Guide to All Things Southern, is $25 from the Hatchet Book Group, and that's Hachette bookgroup.com. And that's what the printed book is. I don't know if the audio's out yet, listeners. But it has a teal cover. There's a small drawing of it here. It's got a teal cover and a red spine. And there's a frame drawn around the teal cover. The frame consists of flowers and flower petals. They are in black with some white in the corner flower petals and red buds and the seeds of some of the petals, and some of the on the sides there are two whites as well. Bless Your Heart is printed in white with red outlines, and there's a picture of a cup with something looking like a Slurpee in it, some iced drink, and a straw coming out of it. A Field Guide to All Things Southern, and the word Southern is written in red. And Landon Bryant, oh, there's a string of pearls that goes across almost at the bottom, just before Landon Bryant's name. And there's a drawing of the author. He is wearing his rimless glasses, his mustache and beard, and his long brown hair parted in the middle. And he has his hand on his chest as if perhaps clutching pearls. And he's wearing appears to be a mauve-colored suit that's buttoned with a white shirt beneath it. And that's his drawing. And in the right column of this page, the grapevine, there's some afterwords here. And they say, Mama Knows Best, 3 lessons Bryant learned from his mom just in time for Mother's Day. 1, pay it forward. Generosity has always been important in the Bryant household. Recalling when he landed his first paid brand collaboration, he says, "I went over to tell my mama, and she didn't even look up. She just said, 'I sure hope you're liking, I horse, let me try this again, listeners. I sure hope you're tithing on that.'" Tithing, T-I-T-H-I-N-G. Which I think means giving 10%. It is, I think it's 10%. It's in the Bible. All right, and two, she's always watching. When I was 4, I got jelly on the table and licked it off. I didn't realize my mom could see me in the reflection in the French doors, so I spent the majority of my life thinking she really had eyes in the back of her head. And three, give family your all. I watched my mom go through breast cancer and all the treatments and surgeries. Even during that, she was focused on us the whole time in a very beautiful way. So I learned to work hard despite the circumstances. And that's it for The Grapevine and Fixin' to Publish a Book. All right, are we ready for Ivy's Kitchen? This is in every issue of the magazine. It's in the in-season section. It says in-season at the top of the page, Ivy's Kitchen. And this has a full-page photograph of mini pimento cheese balls. Let's see, these are balls that are crusted. I guess we'll learn momentarily what they're crusted with. I won't attempt to guess, although I know one is chives. And then there are some crackers on this plate. It's a square silver plate with two handles, rectangular plate with two handles. And it's placed vertically in this photograph. And the photograph, amidst the balls that are, there are five of them, and they have different crusts on them. One has chives. But interspersed between them are some crackers. Some look like Kars crackers. Some look like whole grain crackers. Different kinds of crackers. And some carrots, sliced carrots. Not round slices, long. They're sliced long. And there's some, appears to be maybe squash sliced long. We'll find out, I'm sure, as we read our article. And then some beautiful melons, green, yellow, and purple slices in a corner there. And then some basil in another corner, or radishes with the stems on in another corner. And in the background, going bleeding off the frame of the photo, there are three bowls at different points in the picture. One in the upper right-hand corner, and they all have, this one has a wooden spoon in it. I won't say what it is. I can't quite tell what it is, some kind of a spice. In the left-hand corner, there's a light powder, sky blue linen with some white, it seems like it's embroidered. Yes, embroidered leaves, white embroidered leaves on it, just in one place. And that is just like the left corner of the frame of the photo here. And in the foreground of the photo, there's another, looks like one of those spode, those blue and white bowls. And it has a silver spoon in it. And it's a dark, it's a maroon-colored sauce of some kind. And then to the right of the tray, there's another one of those bowls that's bleeding off the side. And this is primarily white with some blue in it. Could be like a spode pattern. And it has appears to be a stainless steel teaspoon in it. And this is some kind of a powder, not sure, red or thick, a powdery pasty thing. Well, we'll read the article to find out. And then, of course, there's always, down at the bottom of the photograph, a small circle profile picture of Ivy Odom smiling at us with her long brown hair parted on the side. And she's got a floral blouse on, which you can just see the top of the collar of the blouse in this photo. And long, long blue hoop earrings. And she's wearing red lipstick and she has brown eyes. All right, and the title of this is Get the Ball Rolling. Turn a retro party staple into a festive Kentucky Derby appetizer by Ivy Odom. Okay, well, we're a little late for the Kentucky Derby, but I think it'll serve just as well for the Preakness or the Belmont, whatever's coming up, if you're in the South, or any get-together. All right, here we go. Some might call them old-fashioned, but I think that cheese balls deserve a comeback. At one time, you could find the herb or pecan-covered mounds at every party you attended. Part of their allure is that until someone digs in, you never know what's inside. It could be spreadable cheese, deviled ham, or some secret concoction closely guarded by the cook. Eventually, they fell out of fashion in favor of newfangled snacks like whipped feta or baked brie. While I love these starters too, there's something nostalgic and fun about the mysterious nature of a cheese ball. Regardless of the contents, excuse me, each bite is flavorful, creamy, and crunchy. So to help bring this appetizer back in style, I gave it a modern makeover. I often like to start by swapping out the traditional tray for a serving board, which is my go-to for grazing these days. This time, instead of using seasoned cream cheese or ham spread as the base, I chose pimento cheese, the pâté of the South. I couldn't limit myself to just one coating, so I divided the mixture into 5 different balls. More choices are always better. These mini pimento cheese balls covered in chopped bacon, toasted pecans, fresh chives, fried onions, or everything bagel seasoning will make their debut at my derby party this year, served with a few drizzles, including pepper jelly, cane syrup, and hot honey. So, listeners, those were the 3 things in the bowls that she served with them, pepper jelly, cane syrup, and hot honey in a small bowl with teaspoons. I was lucky enough to attend the 148th running of the Kentucky Derby when Rich Strike made the second largest upset in the race's history. His win was completely unexpected, like this cheese ball revival that no one will see coming. And here she has the recipe for them, which I think we can finish in this episode. Mini pimento cheese balls. To make these easy appetizers ahead, wrap the uncoated balls in plastic or tuck them into a Ziploc plastic bag. Refrigerate up to 4 days, and then, just before serving, roll them in the coatings and accompany with sauces. The active time for this recipe is 15 minutes. It's a total of 45 minutes to prepare, and it serves 12 cheese balls. The ingredients for the cheese balls are 1 8-ounce package of cream cheese, softened, 2 cups shredded extra-sharp cheddar cheese, about 8 ounces, 1 4-ounce jar diced pimentos, well-drained, 2 teaspoons of Worcestershire sauce, 1/4 teaspoon of kosher salt, 1/4 teaspoon of black pepper, 1/4 teaspoon of smoked paprika, and 1/8 teaspoon of cayenne pepper. And for the coatings, the ingredients are 3/4 cup of cooked and chopped bacon from 10 slices, 3/4 cup of chopped crispy fried onions, such as French's, 3/4 cup of chopped toasted pecans, 3/4 cup of chopped fresh chives, and 1/2 cup of everything bagel seasoning. The extras are crackers, crudités, or toasted baguette slices for serving. 1/3 cup of pepper jelly, heated in a microwave to loosen it. 1/3 cup of cane syrup. And 1/3 cup of honey, hot honey. 1/3 cup of hot honey. Okay. And here are the steps. Step 1, prepare the cheese balls. Using a rubber spatula, stir all ingredients until thoroughly combined. Using your hands, shape the cheese mixture into 5 balls. 2, spread your coatings of choice on plates. Roll the cheese balls into the desired coatings, pressing gently to cover completely. refrigerate uncovered 30 minutes. And step 3, place the coated cheese balls in the center of a large tray or serving board and surround them with crackers, crudités, or toasted baguette slices. Serve with small bowls of pepper jelly, cane syrup, and hot honey on the side. Yeah. And in the right column here, it says Race Day Refresher. There's an article. No Derby party is complete without this classic cocktail, Ivy's Mint Julep. I think it'll be great all summer, listeners. Place a julep cup or freezer-safe glass in freezer and chill it for 15 minutes. Place 6 mint leaves in at the serving cup. Gently press the leaves against the cup with the back of a spoon to release the flavors. Add 1 teaspoon of powdered sugar and 1 teaspoon of water, stirring gently until the sugar is dissolved. Pack cup tightly with crushed ice, filling cup 2/3 full. Pour 2 ounces of bourbon over ice. Stir briskly. Add additional crushed ice to fill the cup. Add 1 ounce of bourbon and garnish with mint sprigs if desired. Active time for that is 5 minutes, total 20 minutes, and that serves one. And finally, here's a nugget of wisdom from Ivy. To make a proper mint julep, you'll need the right ice. The crushed kind piles perfectly at the top of a julep cup and melts just enough to dilute the heavy pour of bourbon in the Derby cocktail. While you can buy machines that make nugget ice, I head to Sonic or Chick-fil-A where it's sold by the bag. And we have run out of time for today's episode of Southern Living. I hope you enjoyed it and hope you'll listen next time. I'm Joanna LaForgia, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. And remember, listeners, it's for the time being, it is listed under Triangle Bulletin Board. It's posted under Triangle Bulletin Board, which is posted under newsletters, the newsletter section of the podcast section. If you have any comments or questions, we'd love to hear from you at 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. So long until next time.